Now this is, I'm going to go through the second part, and what we're going to do is try to get through it. But I know that some people here have questions about maybe some things you've been studying, maybe you know what I've been studying, and if after this we close with prayer, then if you wanted to ask questions, I am open to any and all questions. Some things I'll just frankly say, I don't know. Let's go to the next question. But some things I may have studied and I may be able to share a little bit, okay? So if you do have questions, please write them down because you probably will forget. Yeah. You know how that goes, right? Oh, I'll remember that. And it's time to ask the question, like, anyways, okay. So we've already had a prayer. Thank you so much for praying. I appreciate it. And we are going to go into our next thought, which is things that angels know. This is interesting. Acts chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. When we pray and whether we give alms or not. Watch this. Acts 10, verse 3 and 4. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto Cornelius, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. This was Cornelius was afraid of the angel and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. I have a question. How did the angel know that? Well, I know this. I don't think this is in the study, but watch this. Revelation 5 and verse, I think it is 8. Look at verse 8. When he had taken a book, that's the Lamb, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and what? Golden vials that were full of what? Odors. Now we know according to Revelation chapter 8, I think it's verse 3, Revelation verse 8, verse 3, there was a golden censer and there was given him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. So the prayers of the saints are mixed together with that incense, and that's what the angels had in Revelation 5 verse 8, were those odors or incense. So the angels are actually pictured in the book of Revelation as holding the incense. I'll show it to you again in case you missed it. Revelation 5 verse 8. It says there was the 24 elders, the four beasts, and the, let's see, the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are what? The prayers of the saints. And so the odors are mentioned as being the prayers of the saints. Who has them?
Angels.
The angels. Interesting. So here, when it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, that your prayers and your alms have come up, it's because, of course, the angels are involved. They know that our prayers and our alms, and they also know both our given and our surname. You understand how that works then? Thank you for the clarification. So then Simon, whose surname is Peter. So the angel knew details about Simon, Peter. But you can understand that he probably knew quite a bit more than just the name and the surname of Simon Peter. Chapter 10, verse 6. They know where we lodge and our occupation. So the angel is explaining to Cornelius, he lodges with somebody named Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So they know the future too, right? Because he's the one that said, in a while, he will tell you what you should do. And so angels are very powerful beings that God uses for the salvation of us here on this earth. Judges 13, verses 3 through 14. It's angels know how to instruct parents in training their children. This is the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, which was, I believe it is Samson's mother. Is that right? Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. So here, the angel is teaching the health message, right? For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. I'm not going to go through that story. You can do it on your own because there's a lot of scripture there and we have plenty to cover. 1 Kings 19, 5 through 8. They know how to prepare food. These angels do. I'm sure they cook better than I do, right? As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold then, this is now Elijah, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat, and, interestingly, he drank with his meal. And he laid down again. That doesn't mean we should drink with our meals, but it's just saying that in this situation where he was ready to die, he was under a tree, he drank with his meal. So sometimes you can do it. It's not sin necessarily, but it is best practice not to. And the angel of the Lord came again, right? The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and he did eat and he drank. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So the angel was able to prepare and deliver food to this man, Elijah. I think that is fascinating. 2 Kings 1, 2, and 3. So they know whether we inquire of spiritualist mediums or not. Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in the upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that you go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? In other words, you're going in the wrong direction. Yes. Yeah, why are you going to a false god? You need to go to the one true God. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21 says, The rank or office of men and what they fill is known by the angels. The Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. So they also know the names of servants and mistresses. That's in Genesis 16, 7 and 8. The angel of the Lord found her, which would be the mistress, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And so we see right here that angels know family relations, those that stay in your house, all the things that we bring as prayers. They know how to cook food. These are angels that are intelligent. In fact, if you look up the phrase heavenly intelligences in the writings of Ellen White, you'll be amazed. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6. They take notice of words spoken. Notice in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6, it says, Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error, because they know they're recording. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? In other words, don't try to hide things. Angels know. Why? Because they are recording angels. You find that phrase and you'll learn. Different orders of angels. Luke 1:19 talks about angels that stand in the presence of God. The angel answered and said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. So Gabriel flatly said to this man, Zacharias, I stand in the presence of God. I mean, like, wow, I almost have chills saying that, because can you imagine hearing that from a very big, beautiful creature that was likely mysterious in looking at him, you know? And so I think it would be pretty intense to be standing there. So Matthew 18, verse 10 talks about they behold God's face. Jesus was saying, Take heed that you despise not one of the little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven, those little ones, angels, do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. So more swiftly, like lightning. They move swiftly like lightning. I bet you that's what it means. It says more, but it probably means move. I'm going to change that one just for the sake of clarity. So in Exodus 1:14, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. They didn't just run. They didn't just return. They ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, one thing you will find soon on my Revelation with Daniel YouTube channel is while I was in Kenya, these guys were amazing. They had me present up to, I'm quite sure I had at least 38 messages in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, I mean, it just was preaching and preaching and preaching. It was incredible. Altogether, we did like 57 messages the first week, all of us. I mean, these folks sat and learned, and they were so excited. Amen. It was incredible because even after all that preaching, I still felt like I was just barely touching the subjects I was talking about. I mean, this is so vast. The whole idea of God, the truth, how our conversion, angelic ministry, the three angels' messages, all of it is so vast that after all those presentations, you feel like, man, I'm barely just talking about it. One interesting thing, in Kenya, I was in a town, well, an area, I guess I don't think it's a town, but an area called Kisii. And I ended up going as the very first white man into this town, this village, to proclaim the truth about who God is. I felt very honored to be in that with that opportunity. Revelation 5, verse 11, they are more than 100 million. Revelation 5:11 says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000. So now think about that. 10,000 times 10,000, right? But now it's times thousands of thousands. So it's not just 100 million. I don't think he was looking broad enough. I think it's way more than that. Psalm 68, verse 17. God's chariots are composed of angels. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai. So were the angels in Sinai?
Amen.
Amen. In the holy place. Seraphim have their work, according to Isaiah 6, 2 and 6. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with twain, or two, he did fly. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Here is a question that I have for you in light of this text. Who's the one that flew with one of the live coals? According to this text. The seraphim, is that an angel, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, what did the live coal do? It doesn't say it here, but it's in verse 7, I think.
Put it on his tongue
to do what?
Cleanse his sin,
to make his mouth pure. Are you saying that the angel here in this verse has a part in sanctifying us?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes, you look it up in the writings of Sister White. She'll make it clear. But here, this is a Bible principle right here in this verse, in this section. Although you don't see it in the next verse because I don't have the next verse included because he didn't include the next verse. But if you do in your own time, you'll see that's what's happening. Exodus 25, 16 through 18. The cherubim were at either end of the mercy seat. Now, who is the mercy seat? Who is that representing? Yes, it represents the presence of God. How? Through his son. That's right. Christ is the mercy seat, the only mediator between God and men that have broken that law. Here's an interesting thought. You have angels on both sides of that mercy seat. Do you know in the Desire of Ages, when you look up the phrase two angels, you find that there were two angels that walked with Christ the entire time of his life. Why? Because the sanctuary describes that there's two angels on the mercy seat. And those two angels always went with that mercy seat everywhere it went. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So then Exodus 25, 16 through 18, the cherubim were at either end of the mercy seat. Verse 16, thou shalt put into the ark of the testimony, which I shall give thee, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. So, of course, we have those angels there that are described as being with that mercy seat. Did you have a comment or a question? So now here, Psalm 80, verse 1, it talks about God dwells between the cherubim. What's interesting, though, if you go to the writings of Sister White, you find that he is not between them as below them. He is between them as above them. Because she says, if he were below them, that would bring him too low. She uses those words. I could find it if I had my app working, but it's not working right now. It will be working later once I connect to the internet.
Yeah, right.
Ezekiel 28 verse 14 says, before his fall, Satan was a covering cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. And so God actually put him there. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Daniel 10:21. Gabriel is the angel of prophecy. Now in the place of Lucifer after he fell, Gabriel is in that place. You can see it in the Desire of Ages, page 99.1. Yes. For the sake of the video, I'll report your question, or recount it. Are the angels created like Adam was created, or were they spoken into existence? I don't know, because I've never looked into that. But I don't recall that they were ever shaped or formed. That's right. So angels are created, but I don't know if they were formed like man was. So do me a favor, put your questions down if you don't mind, and then we'll answer them after the video's done recording. Cool? Thank you. So Gabriel is the angel of prophecy. Notice in chapter 10:21, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Now, of course, we looked at that before and we talked about it a little bit before, so I won't go into details there. But Revelation 14:18, one angel has power over fire. And we saw that already, didn't we?
Yes.
I wonder why it's repeated here. Another angel came out of the altar which had power over fire. So since we read it before, I'll just skip down to the next one. There's another angel with power over the waters. I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and which wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. So this is the angel of the waters. Revelation 2, verse 1, 8, 12, and then also 18, and chapter 3, verse 1, 7, and 14 says, seven angels have charge over the messages to the seven churches. Now, we always apply them to being pastors, but I also believe that they are angels that have been commissioned for those churches to take care of them. And yes, those ministers are there as well. So notice it says in chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, 2, verse 8, unto Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and finally Laodicea, right? It's each one to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. And so I don't know this for sure, but I'm wondering, are there angels that have been commissioned specifically for certain times in church history? Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Is there an angel that is dedicated to that time for a specific purpose? I'll find that one out in heaven, because I don't know. But it seems pretty interesting how we know these are applicable to the historic events of the Dark Ages and Middle Ages and the Reformation and even today as Laodiceans. And so is there a message, or rather an angel commissioned for us today as Laodiceans? Maybe. I'll find out in heaven. In chapter 7, verse 1, four angels control war. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, having the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the tree, nor on the sea, nor any on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Sorry, I said that wrong. Now, the angels are in charge of the sealing work. Amen. Yes, they are. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. So the angel is the one, right, that has the seal. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And he said, behold, or notice, you know, it doesn't include it here. I'm going to read it. It's in Revelation 7, verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till, what's the next word?
Yes.
Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Who's the we that's speaking? It's the angels. The angels are saying, we are going to seal the servants. Now, what goes on here in this study that Brother Stephen Haskell put together in Ezekiel 9, verse 2, behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, every man a slaughtering weapon in his hand. And one man among them, so one of the six, was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God, the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink cord by his side, and said, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Who is this one with the writer's inkhorn?
Angel.
It's an angel. Exactly. And what is his business? He is to set a mark upon those who are sighing and crying after the abominations. They are not committing the abominations. They are sighing and crying because of them. So they're interceding, and these people receive a mark. By who? The angel. Revelation 8, verse 2. Seven angels in charge of the sounding of the seven trumpets. And same thing with the churches. It seems that the angels were in charge of the times of those various trumpets. I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. There's also a mighty angel that opened the little prophetic book. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that lives forever and ever, which would be the Father, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. What time is this referring to?
1840.
Exactly. So who was it that was helping those people understand the book that they were eating?
William Miller.
It was, well, angels were helping William Miller. And it says that in the Great Controversy, William Miller was being taught by angels. Interesting. So that's what the Bible teaches there. It's right there in plain English, but for so long I had missed it. Now, the last warning messages for the world are in charge of three angels. Now, we like to think that angels are symbolic of the messages, and it's true, but they are also the messengers. So angels are actually messengers, and they have three messages as messengers to give to other people like me and like you to be able to proclaim to the world. Now, so here is another angel. And what does he do? He preaches to every kindred, tongue, and nation. What does he say with a loud voice? Fear God. He does not say fear gods. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And then it talks about, what's that?
Fear God, singular.
That's right. That's right. There is another angel that came, which is the second angel in this setup, saying, Babylon is fallen, come out of her, my people. There is a third angel that followed. And notice what happens. He's talking about if any man worshiping, that would be those that worship contrary to the way that God has called us to worship, right? If any man, those would be those that are the either papists, Protestants, or worldlings. These are the people that are in the world. If any man worship the beast and his image, you know who the beast and his image are impersonating? The Father and his image, which is the Father and his Son. And if you receive his mark in your forehead and in your hand, the same, which are those that are papists, Protestants, or worldlings, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of who's this? That's God the Father. Who's this down here?
The Lamb.
The Lamb, that's Jesus. And who are these right here? So what we have in this group of people, like I said earlier to begin the message, is we have God the Father, we have his Son Jesus Christ, and we have the ministration of holy angels. And so that's in the third angel. The smoke of their torment, which is those that do not worship the Father in his image, but rather worship the beast in his image, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast, personating the Father, and his image, personating the Son, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, those that are working with the Father, the Lamb, and the holy angels. Here are they that keep the commandments of God the Father and the faith of Jesus his Son. The entire three angels' messages is dealing specifically with us and worship, worshiping the Father and his Son, not the beast and his image. And it's calling us to work with God, the Lamb, and the holy angels. Isn't that interesting? And those that worship or that work with God and his Son and the holy angels are called patient saints that keep the commandments of God the Father with the faith of his Son. It's not my faith that keeps those commandments. My faith can't do that. But if I have the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If that mind is in me, then it is Christ's mind that has his faith that is working out his life in me. Is that what you want?
Yes. Yes.
Me too. That's what we need. We must have the experience of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not a physical Christ filling our frame. It's not a being within a being. It is the mind connecting with the mind in the same vein of obedience, commitment, connection, conversion, dedication to the Father and his law. Once we have that mind in us, we have the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. Revelation 15, verse 1, there are seven angels that pour out the seven last plagues. And it talks about here, seven angels having the seven last plagues. So these angels are not just symbolic, though they are. These are actual angels that will actually pour out plagues upon this earth, seven of them. And they will do them in chronological order, as it is described in Revelation 16. So Revelation 18, verses 1 through 3, there is the angel of the loud cry. After these things, I saw another angel, which we're told is the third angel, and he is following the first and the second angel, but it's coming up again as a loud cry. These things I saw, and another angel came down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with whose glory?
His glory.
Whose glory? The angel's glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. By the way, in my Bible, which I don't have right now, let me just get it. I'm going to show you a verse that I have linked to this, and I think it would be good to bring out right here at this time. Revelation 18 and verse 2, which says, if we go to Jeremiah 5, 23 through 27, I'll put it right here. Jeremiah 5, 23 through 27. This people, having a revolting and a rebellious heart. You see that? So we're talking about a people that have a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. This is the context. Now, we know Jeremiah is writing about the children of Israel. So he is actually speaking to God's church. That's what's surprising about this section. He's speaking to God's people. Wait a minute, that's God's church. Yes. And that's why the prophets were sent, is because they had gone astray, right? So verse 24, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So it's saying they do not say in their heart these things. Your iniquities have turned away these things and your sins have withholden good things from you. What is this iniquities have withholden? Well, it's the former and the latter rain. It says there in verse 26, for among my people are found wicked men. Wait, come out of her what? My people? It says, they lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. That's what Revelation 18 is talking about. It is a cage full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. So what does it mean in Revelation 18? They are a cage of unclean and hateful birds. They are deceitful. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. So you need to mark that there in your Bible. Jeremiah 5, 23 through 27, because that's what's describing the cage of unclean and hateful birds. They are deceivers. And so it says there in verse 3 of Revelation 18, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We know this is happening right now, in our day. And how it's happening is through what's known as an ecumenical movement. Churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist 501(c)(3) corporate church, is coming together with the various denominations of the world. And you can see the representative, which is like one of the top men in the General Conference, that is in the pictures all the time with these different faith groups and representatives of the different evangelical gatherings. And I'm telling you, it is the leadership that is openly describing through images and write-ups that they are going together with the world in this ecumenical movement. I say, don't be part of that movement that is currently coming together with the ecumenical world that will fulfill the Revelation 13, 11 through 18 prophecies, causing all to worship the beast and his image. I'm just saying. There's more available in the Bible. There is truth to be found, and that's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to search for. Matthew 25, 31 and Revelation 19, 14. The angels are perfectly organized, and they appear like armies as they come with Christ. So when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So wait a minute. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, do you think the Son of Man is going to be disorganized when he comes in his glory?
No.
Oh, absolutely not. And the holy angels will be with him. Do you think they're going to be disorganized in their coming? Absolutely not. So all the armies which are in heaven followed him, that's Christ, upon white horses. They were clothed with fine linen, white and clean. One angel calls the fowls to the great supper in Revelation 19, verse 17. Notice what it says. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come out and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And so that was an angel that cried for them to do that. That's at the that's the beginning of the 1,000 years, right after Christ comes. Revelation 20, verse 1. To another angel is given the work of binding Satan. I wonder if that won't be Gabriel. Watch this. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And then, of course, it goes on to say that he bound Satan for 1,000 years. So Gabriel is the angel of prophecy. Luke 1:19, he stands in the presence of God. We've already read that part. Daniel 9:21, he appeared in vision to Daniel. And we read that part earlier today too. 10:21, there is none but Michael or Christ that unite with Gabriel in revealing prophecy. We read that earlier as well, so I'm not going to read it this time either. Revelation 1, verses 1 through 3, there are four steps in giving prophecy. Now this is what Stephen Haskell wrote. First, God. Second, Christ. Third, an angel. Fourth, the prophet. I'd like to say there's a fifth one. 5, to us. And then we're to give it to others as well. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he, now that Christ has it from the Father, he sent and signified it by his angel. It's his angel. This is Gabriel. Unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things which he saw. Blessed is he that reads those words that come from the Father to the Son, through the angel to the prophet. And they that hear the words of this prophecy, which came through the same direction, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, Christ's own angel is what's described here. We just read about it earlier when I had highlighted his angel. But notice, in Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And who was it that testified these things? It was Gabriel. You can read that in the Desire of Ages 99.1. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And then in verse 6, he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass or be done. Luke 22:43 and Matthew 28 verse 2. They strengthened Christ in the garden and called him from the grave. So Luke 22:43, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. We know this was in the garden after he had been tempted of the devil while he was there sweating blood from his pores. We also know that after the temptation in the wilderness for 40 days without food and water, well, he probably had water, but without food, he was again visited by angels to strengthen him at that time. That's why Steps to Christ 52.2 and 52.3 talk about the Spirit of Christ being brought to us, every human or every believing soul, I think it is. It's brought by the ministration of holy angels. The Spirit of Christ, grace, is brought by ministering angels in Steps to Christ 52.3. So there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Hey, I like that he uses this verse. I've gone through this, people, but it's making better sense this time. He uses this verse that the angel descended to roll back the stone. So this must have been when the angel said, "Son, thy father calls thee." Have you ever seen that quote where Sister White talks about the Father walking with holy tread, walking around the sepulcher of Christ? You've never seen that? Write it down. I'll show it later. Just holy tread walking around the sepulcher. So it says, not only do these angels reveal prophecy, but they explain the prophecy to the prophets. It came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. What did he do? I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, "Gabriel, make this man to what? Understand the vision." Gabriel had been commanded to make Daniel understand. So what did this angel do? He sent a word of understanding to Daniel. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, "Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." So right away the angel explained, this is not just a few days. It's not just a few years. This is for the end of time. And so Daniel was able to understand better as a result. And so I think this goes on for a while, but the whole point is that this angel explains the prophecy to Daniel, not only in chapter 8, but also in chapter 9, verses 21 and onward. So we can see that as you go through in your own time and you can read it. And so Daniel 10, 20, and 11, 1, it's talking about the influences that individuals are given to work for the fulfillment of the prophecy. Each of these angels are given that ability. And we read these before already as well, so I'm going to skip those. The king of Persia and Darius the Mede. So what about Isaiah 7:14 and Luke 1:26 through 38? When the time came for the fulfillment of the prophecy, Gabriel announced the fact to one who should fulfill it. And this was done, of course, through the minister Gabriel. Notice it says in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Notice how it's fulfilled. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel that was sent from God came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this thing be that I know not a man?" So obviously Mary is having a conversation with this angel. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. By the way, Christ is mentioned as the highest in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore also, thou, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So, even in this experience of one of the most intimate relations that God could have with men or humans, Christ was actually brought into the womb of Mary. And this was revealed by an angel. So think about how important angels are in this ministry. You know, this section of the Bible just said that God had sent an angel, sent from God. Why didn't God come himself? Because God uses his angels to do that. You see, that's what the Bible is teaching. God uses his angels. And so many people are saying, no, it's not an important subject. Yes, it is. God is bringing salvation. He's protecting. He's guiding. He's teaching. They're bringing the Spirit of Christ all through the ministration of the angels. It's keeping heaven in constant connection with the earth and the heaven above. You can see that in First Select Messages. Luke 1, 5 through 20. I won't read it all, but they come from the presence of God to the one interested in the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, the ones that were interested were the shepherds in this story. So if you go down and you find that in the days of Herod, there was Zechariah, and it talks about all these people that were interested, and the shepherds were there, and they ended up actually singing this amazing song, Glory to God in the Highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill, right? Goodwill and peace, something like that. I'll have to read that one again to better understand it. Genesis 24, 1 through 48. I did copy this whole section. It's a long section, but we're not going to actually read it all through. But his angel goes before the one interested in carrying out the plan of God. Abraham, he was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham. And Abraham said to his eldest servant that ruled over his house, put your hand under my thigh. He did so. And then it talks about how the Lord had sent an angel to go before him. And you can see that in the answer to the conversation, rather, that Isaac and Rebekah have at the well. And also after, when Isaac was relating this story to her parents. So like I said, I'm not going to read that whole thing. But in Revelation 22, verse 9, the fellow servant of John, the prophets, and those who keep the sayings of Revelation. Gabriel is the servant and will go before the individual who will give his life to assist in fulfilling the prophecies of the Revelation. Notice it says in verse 9, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now, I want to say, this is the very last verse that we're looking at today in this study, but what are those words? Worship God, right? Were you going to say that? Good, you can read, that's wonderful. What's interesting about this is the angel is telling John to worship God. He's actually appealing to John not to worship anything other than God, but to worship God. And we know that that is the first angel's message. Fear God and give glory to him. Worship him that made heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of the earth. And so what we have is this angel calling us to worship God. If angels that are holy sent by God are around us, will we be able to partake in their ministry of telling and encouraging people to worship God? Yes, absolutely. And I want to have their ministry with me every single day to help others to be directed in that same direction. Worship God. Don't worship anything other than God. And we know that that is the first, second, and third angel's message. Don't worship the beast in his image. Worship the Father in his image. Worship God. Amen. So these angels are, to me, more than incredible. And you can see from Stephen Haskell's study here, and I just filled in the scriptures that he did not, he just put references. We can see that he was quite a student himself. He understood what the angels were doing and what they were not doing. And so I praise God for the opportunity to have gone through this with you today, and pray that you will continue to study more of what the Bible and the writings of Ellen White talk about in regard to the angels, because there is so much more to study compared to what we just went through in these two parts. So thank you so much for this time. I would like to commit myself with you in prayer to be one of those four groups that are talked about in the third angel's message. There's God the Father. We can't be Him. There's the Son of God, the Lamb. We can't be Him. There are the holy angels. We can't be Him. But we can be the patient saints. And so there are four mentioned that are working to help spread the gospel in the third angel's message, which is the final message of Revelation 18 as well. And I would like to be one of those four, specifically the patient saints that are working with the angels, the Son, and the Father. What about you?
Yes,
amen. Let's pray together. Lord of heaven, I want to thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to look into this message of what was studied and put on paper many years ago. Your people used to understand this. And today, through deceptions, we have just come to the point where it doesn't seem to register in a lot of minds. It didn't in mine, for sure. But Lord, you've brought this back to me. You've helped me understand. And there are many people that are understanding this concept of how you are working through your Son, through the angels, and through us. We ask that you'd please help us to better understand you, your Son, the angels, and even how we fit into the picture of how you'd like to minister at this time in Earth's history. And we pray that you'd help us to be those patient saints, to be faithful, to work together with you for the fulfilling of the final prophecies that we're living in currently and we're seeing to be fulfilled shortly. We ask that you would please have mercy on us. Please continue to lead and guide and do everything necessary for our conversion and our salvation, because we want to be able to thank you personally for all that you've done. Bless us as we continue now with a few questions and answers. May you lead and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.